Welcome to part three of our Boomer Entrepreneurship webinar series. In the first webinar back in September, we talked about the advantages and challenges of being your own boss and talked about some of the decision points you need to look at in order to decide if it's right for you. Then in October, we looked at a series of steps on how to come up with a business idea, how to know it's good, how to know whether it can make money for you and something you will enjoy. Well, today we're wrapping up the third part of this series with a discussion of a number of very popular ways that people use today to launch a boomer business. And then at the end of my presentation, I'm also going to talk about the essentials, seven essentials you need to really launch a successful business. So let's get started. The first popular style, and let me just say before I go any further here that these are not presented necessarily in order of popularity. These are just kind of the way they came to my mind. This doesn't necessarily mean that consulting clients are our number one category. They're an important part, but they're not certainly the majority. So let's talk about consulting. What are some of the keys to success in this particular type of business? Well, first of all, you obviously have to be very expert at some very specific set of skills and or knowledge. And chances are that if you've done the same thing for 30 or 35 years, you are quite expert. This can be represented by a number of different things. It could be from the job titles you've had. It could be from the projects you've worked on. The second key to success in being successful in consulting is that you want to build yourself as an expert, not just someone else who can talk about information in your particular industry. You want to make sure that you can establish yourself as preeminent. And there's a couple of ways to do this. One of them, of course, is if you've ever been published in any trade magazines in your industry, if you've been a speaker at a trade show, or if you've done any keynote speaking, if you've been done part of a national survey that was recognized by the media. Anything we can use at this point to say, hey, I'm not just good, I'm an expert. There's a third category, which is true of most business concepts, but certainly true of consultants, is you need to be able to sit down before you move forward and say, okay, do I know 50 to 100 potential customers? And this is where your 30 to 35 years experience in the same industry really comes to play. One of the key advantages that boomer entrepreneurs have in succeeding in business is that they are very well networked. They know a lot of people. They might have 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people on their LinkedIn profile. They may have a personal email list of over 1,000 people. Well, now's the time to pull that out and start looking at it and say, okay, who would be the first 20 to 25 prospects that I would go after? And sometimes, quite honestly, I've seen this happen a number of times, when the word gets out that you're going out on your own, people will approach you, people you've known in the past who respect your work. So sometimes it's not even the case of you having to reach out. They'll come to you. And the fourth key thing for being a successful consultant is that a lot of delivering your product to your clients requires you to be outside of your office, which means that you have to automate your marketing as much as possible so that you can continue to grow. You need to be able to learn how to use, set up email messages in advance and have them sent out. You may even need to hire a firm in your local area to help you set appointments. Now let's take a look at an example among our clientele on successful consulting. This is the website for Ken Prosky, an award-winning health and safety consultant here in the Chicago area. About 9 years ago, Ken was called in by his HR director and told that they were going to lay off the complete health and safety department, 60-some people. And he was then given the opportunity to go to an outplacement firm, which is where I met him. I was doing a presentation there one day. And we started talking. He said, you know, Jeff, I've called around a few other places to see if there might be an opportunity for me as a health and safety director. And he really wasn't getting encouraging news from anybody. They all seemed to be wanting to downsize this particular operation. So I think Ken realized pretty quickly that if he ever really wanted to do this type of work again in his career, he was going to have to do it as a self-employed consultant. So over a period of about 3.5 months, we helped him create his company, Compass Health and Safety. and to launch the company with a complete marketing strategy and all the legal and financial organization. Today, 8.5 years later, Ken still works from his home office in suburban Chicago and runs about a $200,000 a year consulting practice. Now let's take a look at the second popular way to start a business today, and that's selling a service. Let's look at the keys to success. Number one, you have to have proven skills in something. For example, if you decide you want to start a landscape design company, you have to be able to prove to people through past work that you've done that you're really expert at this. And even if you've done this for a corporate employer, there are still jobs that you can describe on your website that will give people an indication of how skilled you are. You have to be particularly precise in selling a service, because the first question people are going to ask to you is, let's say you come to my house and you tell me that you're going to remodel my kitchen. My first question is, how many times have you done this? And who can I talk to that you've done this with before? The second key to success in being successful in a service business is to have well-defined customers. There are usually many more potential customers than you can physically handle, so you really have to focus this down. And one way to do that is through geographical concentration. Now, let me share an example of one of my clients from about 10 years ago who was very successful skill-wise, but she had a real problem in growing her company, and I'll tell you why. She could not say no to a potential customer. And as a result, she was serving customers all over a 50-mile radius in the Chicago area. Well, she woke up one day and realized that she was spending as much time driving to her clients as she was actually delivering work. And in most cases, your customer will not pay you for driving time. Now, there are some exceptions, such as plumbers who charge travel time. But typically, the time it takes you to get to your customer to provide the service is your expense. So we sat down with a big map of the Chicago area, and we put pins in where all our customers were, and we figured out there were a couple of concentrations that she could concentrate on, and we would just drop some of the other customers as time went on, and she would become more and more concentrated geographically, and this really allowed her company to grow, because now she was spending a minimum amount of time getting to her customers. And the fourth key to success in selling service is you need to have very disciplined customer service. You need to get back to your customers as soon as you've delivered your service and say, how was it? Did I do a good job? Is there anything I could have done better? And once they've said to you, hey, this was fantastic, you did a great job, the next question is to ask them, is there anyone that you know of or in your neighborhood who might benefit from our service? Because I will tell you that service businesses in particular grow substantially through client referral. And let me share an example of a successful service business with you. This is a fellow UVA grad, Chris Engles, who's based in McLean, Virginia. And Chris is a CPA. And for the last 25 or 26 years, he has made his living by doing what's called tax checkup, which is a tax planning service. This is not just for anybody. This is for solo business owners. He's very specific in the customer he sells. He doesn't try to sell big corporations. He doesn't sell to the government. He sells to small business owners, and he meets them through aggressive networking, through the Chamber of Commerce and through other membership groups. Okay, the next popular category of boomer business startup is what I call a knowledge business. And let me share the keys to success in this type of business. The first is you have to have a very focused how-to approach. In other words, you need to be able to sit down on paper and say, okay, here's the one outcome that I will help you achieve with my training or my teaching. And here are the 6, 7, 8 steps that I will lead you through to get to that conclusion. And this takes quite a long time to sit down and think about this. Secondly, you need to be totally mobile, which means today that you need to have your training featured online in a way where it can be read as equally easily on a smartphone as on a laptop computer. This is something that we've done with the Virtual Incubator Business Startup Program, which is our main product. We have a planning program, which consists of 11 planning steps, that is online, and it's been specially designed using a special software called LearnDash so that you can read this on a smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop. We use the online course to educate our clients so that each week when they have a live coaching call, it's as effective as possible because they know exactly what it is they're supposed to be doing and what they're supposed to achieve. The third key to success in a knowledge business is you have to build a strong email list. The people I know who make a lot of money from knowledge are people who have 5, 10, 15,000 names on their email list. There's a whole series of marketing tactics you can use to build an email list, which we don't really have time to go into today. I've been online with my main company, BizStarters.com, for 18 years, and we have about 6,000 in-house email names. And number four, you need to have easy online ordering and delivery. You need to be able to not only sell the training on your website, but people need to be able to go with no more than two clicks and need to be able to get into a purchase window, put in their credit card number, and then immediately after they purchase it, they need to get a link or some kind of access to the training. Now, the way our system works for our one-on-one coaching is once you pay the fee for the coaching, we send you an email within 2 minutes that gives you a link, and the link leads you to the online training course. Now, this is, as an example, this is our do-it-yourself version of our training course. We not only offer one-on-one, but we also offer do-it-yourself, and you'll notice that at the top of the page it says course login. This is to allow people who are coming back for after the first time they've been to the course, this allows them to get in easily. During the purchase process, we have each client set up a username and a password. And using that combination, they can get into this course as often as they want, as many times as they want. The next popular category, a boomer business startup, is craft fashion businesses. And I particularly enjoy working with these kind of companies because my wife is a very creative person. Let's take a look at the keys to success. The first, of course, is that you have to be artistic. And this usually comes from a combination of some formal level of education and a lot of experimentation. Many of the artistic fashion clients that we work with started off running it as a hobby and then realized that they can make good money at it and turned it into a business. The second is that you need a really good network of suppliers when you're in a craft and fashion business because the quality of your product depends largely on the quality of the components you use to make your product. And it's really important that you have a good supplier network. Now, another reason this is critical is that as you grow, you will not be able to keep up with demand if your suppliers cannot keep up with you. And I'll give you an example from my career on how this can happen. Back in the early 1970s, I used to be a buyer at Sears, and I bought children's clothing. And one year in the Christmas catalog, we had a red and white checked party dress for little girls. And this thing was really blowing out. It was selling hundreds of thousands of dollars within a couple of weeks after we launched it. Well, it got to be about 2 weeks before Christmas, and I get a call from our supplier in Tennessee telling me that they couldn't keep up with demand because they were running out of fabric. Well, this obviously was a very concerning situation, so I flew down to the plant, and I walked into the plant, and I noticed that they had three production lines of sewing machines. One of them was making our dresses, another one was making someone else's dresses with red and white checks, and the third line was making a completely different product. So I said to the general manager, I said, "Whose fabric is that on the second line?" And they said, "That's a department store." And I said, "We want that fabric." And back in the 70s, Sears had the power to get these things done. So we ended up keeping up with demand by getting that fabric and using it on our product. We later made it up to the department store chain. But this was a really critical part of our success. Now, the third key to success is you have to have what I call design discipline. You can spend hours and hours and hours designing a product, apparel item, a jewelry item, a craft item, and if you do not discipline yourself, you will end up with a lot of time invested and very little sales. So what you have to do is sit down before you start the project and say, okay, based on my experience and research, this is going to take me 8 hours of time. I'm going to have a saleable product in 8 hours. And when you get to that 8 hours, you're ready to go. Whatever product you have at that point, you got to get ready to sell it, because you can always modify the product as you go along. And the fourth key to success is to decide, are you going to primarily sell online directly to consumers? Are you going to sell to retail stores? Or are you going to do both? It's very demanding to do both at the same time, and you really need to understand exactly how to go about doing this. Now, let me give you an example of one of our clients. Susan is a female entrepreneur who owns Wired Lotus, a jewelry manufacturing company here in suburban Chicago. She has an art degree, a college art degree, and spent many years doing this as a hobby, as I said before. She decided about 5 years ago that there was a business here, and she decided she would launch a line of fine wire jewelry. She uses a sterling silver wire and other types of wire to make her jewelry. But she took a slightly different approach to starting this business. She decided that in the beginning, rather than just selling the jewelry, she would sell instruction on how to make jewelry. So she sat down with her camcorder at home, and she made a series of instructional videos on how to make different kinds of jewelry, bracelets, necklaces, pins, and she sold them through a website called Etsy, E-T-S-Y, which is a worldwide selling location for craft and fashion items. When I met her 2 years ago, she had gotten to the point where she now was ready to move out of her home into a retail location. So I worked with her to do this in suburban Chicago, and now she has not only a more traditional walk-in jewelry type location, but she also has space in her store to do live training. Okay, the next popular category of a boomer business is teaching and training. This is the business that I'm in at BizStarters.com. We do teaching, training, and coaching. We've been doing this for 25 years. This is our main business. Now let's talk a bit about the keys to success here. The first is you really need to define the need clearly. There are literally thousands of different subjects you can train somebody in. You have to be very specific, particularly if you're selling to a corporate clientele. It's pretty rare to find a training company that will go to a corporation and say, we can do any kind of training you want. We can train MIS, we can train programmers, we can train human resource people. That usually doesn't work in the corporate world because they have a very specific need. So you need to sit down and define exactly who you're going to go after. In our case, we decided 15 years ago that we would concentrate solely on people over age 50 who were either about to retire or who had recently retired and who had a long time interest in being their own boss. We understood from interviewing more than 300 of them exactly what they wanted in the kind of help, which is the way we built our virtual incubator program. The next key to success is that, as with a consultant, you need to be able to describe how you are an expert. I spend a lot of time doing this for BizStarters.com. And one of the big breakthroughs we had was back about 5 years ago, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine contacted us and said, we'd like to consider you for our best website feature in our upcoming issue of our magazine. Could you submit some information about your company? Well, I had done this before, and I thought, well, maybe something will come of this, maybe not. Well, sure enough, one day I get a call from the editor saying, hey, we've selected you as one of our top 25 websites for people to use. And in our case, we were selected as the best entrepreneurial guide for people over 50. And as a result of this selection, we were given a small icon, like a good housekeeping seal, that we could use on our books, our training guides, and on our website, to tell people, hey, we're expert about this. The third key to success in training and coaching is that, once again, you need to have a strong email list. I spend a lot of time building the email list. And there's a number of ways to do this, but one of the more popular ways is to give away something free that's very popular and ask people for their email address in order to receive the free item. And the last key to success here, and this is a real challenge, is that you have to know how to deliver your training both online and live. You really can't just do one or the other today. And in our virtual incubator program, we've combined the online and the live together. Now let's take a look at an example here. Melissa Wilson is an old friend of mine. I've known her for almost 30 years. And over the last time period we've known each other, she's written 15 books, many of them published by national publishers. She just loves to write. She's really good at this. She's constantly coming up with new ideas. She can sit down in 3 or 4 weekends and write a 300-page book. Well, along the path of writing her own books, she learned everything you need to know about how to write a book, how to print and publish the book, and how to market the book. And now her company, NetWorlding, the primary income stream for them is that they approach experts in a particular topic, and they ask them, have you written a book? If the person has not written a book, the next question, of course, is, would you like to write a book? And almost everybody wants to have a book. Not only is it very satisfying to have a book, but also it's a good marketing device. So she leads people through a step-by-step process over a period of about a month and a half to go from a concept to the book to the printed version and then to marketing it. The next popular category of Boomer Business is selling a product. Now, before I get into the keys to success, let me just say one thing. This can often be a lot more expensive to invest in than the previous types of business that I've mentioned. For example, you can start a consulting company with just business cards if you want to do that. Product selling requires more money, and I'll explain why in just a minute here. The first key to success is you must know exactly where your product fits in the marketplace. What problem does it solve? Or what need does it satisfy? There is so much product competition today, particularly because of Amazon. Amazon has thousands of small companies selling their products through Amazon. It's the same thing with eBay. If you go on eBay and put a particular product there, you'll probably find 25 or 30 other people selling the same product. So you have to be very precise about where this fits in the marketplace. The next big challenge, and this is where the money starts to come in, is that you need to create a prototype, which means you need to create samples. And chances are that you may go through a dozen or 15 different prototypes until you find a product that works successfully. This costs money. You can easily invest $10,000 to $25,000 in creating a prototype. The next key to success is that you need to use your samples to have them tried out by various customers and get feedback from them. This is really important. If you build the product only based on what you want and what you like, then you are probably ignoring the needs of a lot of people in the marketplace. And the fourth key to success is that you need to be able to build a very strong online selling story. You need to be able to tell in one short paragraph exactly how your product is superior to other products. And let's take a look at an example here. This is an entrepreneur I came across some months ago, and he's 56 years old, so he's definitely a 50-plus boomer. And he had this product idea in his mind for a number of years. He had a chance to leave the corporate world. He decided, okay, now I have time to concentrate in this. And this is the result. It's called the Juppie. Now, you'll notice a couple of things. This is the top part of his webpage. You'll notice that there's a couple of things here he's done to really help establish himself as the preeminent provider of this type of product. First of all, on the top left corner, it says, top-rated national baby walker. Well, scan down to the bottom right corner, and you'll see that there's a logo on the site that says, top-rated national baby walker. Now, we don't know where that logo has come from. We'd have to do some research. But this is similar to the trademark, the logo I was allowed to use from Kiplinger's Personal Finance magazine. He also describes his product as world famous. That will attract attention. Now, is it world famous? We don't know, but the point is he thinks it is. And then the third thing that I really like on this webpage is it says, use high quality recycled materials. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm very pro-environmental, and I try to recycle wherever I can. So if I see a product that's well-made, works well, solves a specific need, and it's made out of recycled materials, I am all in on this. Now, let me talk a bit about the essentials that I believe you need to have in order to have a successful business. And let me just go through the list here. Number one, the number one thing you need to be able to do before you move forward with a business concept is you should take out a blank piece of paper and write down the problem that I solve. This can be one paragraph answer, it can be a whole page. If you want, open up a Word document on your computer and type it in, whatever you want to do. But this is the key, because people pay for solutions. That's why businesses are profitable. Number two, then, is you need to be able to sit down and say, okay, I've got a solution to your problem, and here's the specific problem. Here are three or four reasons, specific reasons, why it will benefit you to buy my product or my service. The next one is to be able to describe your potential customer in some detail. For example, our typical customer for Virtual Incubator is 57 years old, 60% men, 40% women. They've all been successful middle managers or upper middle managers, and they've all had a business concept for some period of time, at least a few months. The next is you need a good marketing system. Once you've come up with your benefit story and you know to whom you want to tell this benefit story, you need to have a system. And this includes everything from a good logo, business cards, website, email marketing, and your social media marketing. It has to all be pulled together into one process so that it will reliably help you to build your company. Because the reality is this. Most of our clients run their companies by themselves, which means that they have to do the selling, the producing, and delivering all by themselves. You have to automate this as much as you can in order to be able to grow your company, because there's only so many hours in the day. And one of the keys here is to use marketing to draw people in. If you have an effective website, if you do effective email marketing, this will deliver prospects to you who already know quite a bit about you, which makes it much easier to sell them than if you're talking to a total stranger. The fifth key to success in a small business is that you need to be able to figure out, where can I get potential customers? These are called prospects. I continually work on this. After all these years, I'm always looking for new prospects. Our three primary ways we get prospects are, number one, referrals from past clients. Number two, publicity. We do publicity all the time. We get written up in articles. People contact us. And number three is we join with other companies who sell to a similar kind of person a non-competitive product. These are called marketing partnerships. And those are the three ways that we get prospects. Because the reality is that selling is a game of numbers. For every, say, 100 prospects, you're only going to sell maybe 10% of them. So you got to figure out, this is my financial goal. If I only sell 10%, how many do I have to have in order to make my goal? And that drives your whole company. The sixth key here is that you also need to be set up legally and financially before you launch your business. You need to have a legal registration. You have to make sure you've taken care of the state and the Internal Revenue Service registrations. If you need a contract to work with your clients, you need to have worked with an attorney to do that. You also need to have an accounting software set up like QuickBooks. You need to have financial projection done for what you think you'll do your first year. You need to figure out your pricing. And lastly is you need a production plan. Now, I have people say to me, but wait a minute, Jeff, I'm going to sell consulting. What are you talking about production? Well, here's the reality. There's almost no product or service that you can sell that you can do in just one step. It normally takes a series of steps to prepare to sell your product or service. And this is in my determination, this is your production plan. For example, once we get a client for our one-on-one coaching, it takes about 25 or 30 individual steps to get them successfully launched. We have a complete process in writing on how we go through these 30 steps. Who will do each step? Do we have an outside supplier we need? How much time does it take? We've worked this all out many years ago in order to know that we have a reliable outcome. You may be thinking, what do I do next? I'd love to do one of those six startup concepts that Jeff talked about today. Well, I will tell you that I've learned from doing this for a lot of years that a great first step is for us to talk. Talk about your interests, your anxieties, your questions. Talk about a potential concept. Whatever it is you want to talk about, I'd love to talk to you about it. And in order to do that, I invite you to set up a free call with me. You just go to bizstarters.com, and on the right side of the page, you'll see Request a Free Call. Click on the pink button, and you'll immediately be taken to my calendar, which will show you what days and times are available. Just pick the one you like, and I will call you on the day and time that you've selected. This is a no-selling phone call. I do not try to sell you something on this phone call. I just want to find out what your needs are, and I want to be able to give you some suggestions on how you might move forward.
We'll start with our first question. Michelle is asking, I know that there are websites and networks for programming and IT professionals to get contract jobs. Are there some that you would recommend, or is this an area that you would work individually with somebody on?
Well, I would try both. When you first start out, you have to spread your story wide and far. But I will tell you that one of the downsides of these online connection sites like guru.com is that it really drives the cost down of the work. It's really difficult to make a lot of profit only doing that type of work because it's a bidding process. I'll give you a perfect example. I had a friend here in my neighborhood in Chicago who has a new business, and he told me about a week ago that he needed a logo for his business. I said, don't worry about it. So I went to a site called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R.com, and you bid on there. Well, long story short, I got a professionally done logo for $7. Well, how can I do that? Because most of the providers on the network are not based in the United States. They tell you where they are on the website. In my particular case, this guy was in Romania. So the problem with these online sites is you're competing against a worldwide labor source. So I really would strongly encourage you to set up a marketing campaign to go after the, you know, domestic clients here based on your expert status. As I said during my presentation, you need to be able to set up how are you the expert on this. And I'd be more than glad to talk to you about how to go about doing this if you'd like to book a call.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Another question that I wanted to put out there, a lot of these different venture paths sound like they involve a fair amount of technology expertise. So can you talk a little bit about kind of the general level of technology know-how someone would need to kind of get to this starting point?
Yes, thank you for asking. That's a great question. There is technology, but we know that most of our startup clients are not necessarily that advanced in their technology knowledge. So what we do is we build this in the back end of our startup program. We build your website for you. We show you how to maintain it, but we do all the coding for the website. We help you set up your sales prospecting system, and all you have to do is know how to go in and use a window that looks like Microsoft Word. We know that a lot of our clients are not advanced in technology. So we build the technology into the back of the program. You get the benefit, but all you have to be able to do is to click a button, send an email some particular place, or enter a program that looks like Microsoft Word. If you can do those, you can make the technology work for you.
Great, thank you. And could you also talk a little bit more about professional networks or professional associations that aspiring entrepreneurs might want to become involved with?
Okay. Well, I think the number one thing you should look at is what industry do you want to sell into? Because industry-specific profile is really critical, I think, here. Now, I'm not knocking chambers of commerce or leads groups. They have what they call leads groups, which is where a series of small business owners get together and they swap prospective customers with each other. Those can be beneficial, but I will tell you that having belonged to leads groups for off and on for many years, I never found it very effective. And that's because they were jammed up with a bunch of local bankers, lawyers, and accountants. And they really didn't trade leads very well. So I found that it wasn't the best use of time. Where I have been able to really make a breakthrough here is by going to anybody involved in my industry. And my industry basically is the retirement advice industry. That's the industry that I'm in. I've gone to people who blog. I've gone to people who write articles for magazines. I've gone to people who have resource sites. And I've said, hey, can I share content with you? And by doing this, I've gotten my name associated with this other high credibility source. So I would really recommend that you first look at what industry you want to be in and where can you connect.
Thank you. Thank you. And then another question might be whether you can suggest kind of in general ways that aspiring entrepreneurs might seek out resources to help them with the areas where they don't have the expertise. So for instance, if they don't have experience with marketing or with the financial side, where might they turn for support?
Okay. Well, there's a couple resources I would recommend. First of all, an important part of being a successful entrepreneur is that you have to be prepared to learn something new on a regular basis. And one of the things that I do to do this is that every morning I spend 15 to 20 minutes reading three publications. And I'm going to tell you what they are here. I've got these actually set up with little icons on my homepage on my computer so I can access them quickly. The first one is Entrepreneur.com, which is Entrepreneur Magazine. They have a lot of great articles on marketing and selling. Number two is Inc., INC.com. This is more for the growing type company, but here you can access what CEOs think about things, what kind of challenges they've overcome. There's a lot of great individual case studies on Inc. As a matter of fact, they happen to be based here in Chicago, so I know some people at Inc. And then the third thing I read every day is the small business section of USA Today. They happen to have a couple of really outstanding columnists, including Rhonda Abrams, who writes for USA Today. So the first thing I would say is set yourself up, maybe not every day, but a couple days a week. Go in and read, make notes, bookmark pages that you think are important, and start building a library of marketing and selling knowledge. The second resource you can use, and this is particularly true if you're in a large metropolitan area, and that is the U.S. Small Business Administration runs what are called Small Business Development Centers. These are physical walk-in centers, quite often located at community colleges, at least they are here in Illinois, and you can call and request a free coaching interview, a free coaching call with them, and they'll be more than glad. Now, a couple things I will say about this. One of the problems with the Small Business Development Center network is that they do not have as much funding as they would like to have, and as a result, they are always short on counselors, which means that you might have to wait a little while to get a coaching call. And the other problem is that it's difficult to get ongoing coaching from them, but they're really good if you go there the first time and say, I'm thinking of this business idea, what haven't I thought of? They're really good at helping you figure that out.
So I wanted to thank Jeff. This was our last question for today. Thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing your expertise. This was very informative. And also thank you to our audience for being here with us.